So what had actually happened to her, she used to like hunting. So she had gone with her khadim, she was from a wealthy family, noble family. So she went with her servants and all that. They went hunting, and in pursuit of some animal, she got separated from the rest of her hunting crew. And she got lost in the jungle. If you never went in the jungle, then you won't know how easy it is to get lost in the jungle. So she got lost, she got separated, and eventually when she came out, she found this little village, she saw the masjid, so she went there. So now, Masroor, she also can't sleep properly, she is worried also. He now, he knows that this is a woman. He is a young man. So now that waswasa starts now, shaitani waswasa, nafsani desire. So when this desire became too strong in him, so he woke up, came off his bed, and in the front of the masjid, there was an oil lamp, you know. So that used to stay burning in case anybody comes and want to sit to read, whatever. So he went there to the front, and he took his finger and he put it in the flame. And then he returned to his bed. After some time, he woke up again, went and put his finger in the flame. So like this, he passed the night. Good few times, he went put his finger in the flame. So this woman now, she is watching this thing. So in the morning, she took her leave. So then she asked him, you know, in the night I seen you. So what were you doing that for? You know, you burnt yourself. So he didn't give any answer. Just ignored her question. But now she's not going. He said, no, you tell me why you did that. Then only I'm going from here. So now one is now, this woman rather go from here. At least my life will be in peace. Now she's not going, she's insisting, she wants to know. So then he said, well, he rather just tell her. He told her, see, I also have a nafs. And I knew that you are a woman. Although you're behaving like you're a man, but I knew you're a woman. So every time my nafs was inciting me to approach you, so I went to the flame and I put my finger in the flame. And I said to my nafs that the fire of Jahannam is 70 times more intense than this. And this is just your one finger that's getting burned. Then your whole body will burn. So if you can take this heat, then we can attempt to do that. You can't take this heat, then quietly go and sleep. The whole night he addressed his nafs like that. Today's time, in order to create the heat, we using the same finger to press buttons to bring about the heat. Then we end up in haram. So this is how people of the past, how they saved themselves from guna, how they saved themselves from sin, how they saved themselves from guna. Gee, so we're moving on now to the next majlis. So this was a majlis-e-khas held by Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Jalalabad, India on the 2nd of April 1989, corresponding to the 24th of Shaban 1409. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali started off the majlis by saying that if the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum were to arrive here from the world of Barzakh, they are all gone to the Alam-e-Barzakh, they've staged of the qabr, you know, before qiyamah. Now you are in alam-e-barzakh. So if they have to come from alam-e-barzakh, if Allah Ta'ala has to allow for them to come in the dunya, obviously that's not going to happen, but he's just explaining that if they have to come here and they have to see us in our present state, they would be astonished at the strangeness in what state were we when they left us. In other words, what was the condition of the ummah when they left and what condition the ummah is in now. So the majlis was not about that. Hazrat just mentioned that. And then he spoke about respecting and honoring the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Right? And he explained this incident, which is actually mentioned in the kitabs, with regards to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he wanted to find out some mas'ala, some aspect of deen. So he went to the home of Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. And at that time, so Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was in the house, may have been resting or whatever, is in the house. So he didn't feel it appropriate to knock and disturb him. So he will sit outside, what we'll call the veranda or the doorstep or whatever, and he'll wait. When he comes out, then I will go to him. I don't want to disturb him in his private time. So when Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu came out, and he found Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu by his door, now this is the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So he said, why didn't you knock? So he said, no. He quoted the ayat of the Quran Sharif, wherein Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if they make sabr, I mean they mustn't go trouble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his private time. If they make sabr and they wait until he comes out, then this would be better for them. So he said, no, I made amal on that. So here he discussed whatever he wanted to, some whatever masla or whatever he wanted to found out. And at some time, whether it was on that occasion or sometime after, whatever. So Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu was going to mount his animal. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he went to hold the reins, not hold the animal straight, hold the stirrups. In other words, he's making Zayd radiallahu anhu's khidmat. So Zayd radiallahu anhu is feeling hard that now, I mean, this is the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now, how can I take khidmat from him? So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu expressed to him, let's see, you are my ustad. And we have been taught to honor our ustad. So you are my ustad. So this is how we have been taught to honor our asatiza. So Zayd radiallahu anhu, he told Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that extend your hand. So he took his hand and he kissed it. And he told him, this is how we have been taught to honor the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the relationship between Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What a relationship of muhabbat, a relationship of unity. Each one wants to honor the next one. And today it's all about a bill of rights. My rights. What's my rights? I. Our Hazrat Muhammad Sputya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say this. In the marriage also, husband is worried about what are my rights. Wife is worried about what are my rights. Children are worried about what are my rights. Whereas Allah Pak is not going to take us to task if somebody never fulfill our rights. If we don't fulfill the next person's rights, then we will be taken to task. If people don't fulfill our rights, that's not our problem. So why are we worried about our rights? We must worry about everybody else's rights. Then Hazrat mentioned that if the husband, he is worried that I must fulfill my wife's rights. The wife, she is worried that I must fulfill the husband's rights. The children, they are concerned that no, we must fulfill the parents' rights. The parents are concerned that we must fulfill the children's rights. The mother-in-law, she is worried that I must fulfill my daughter-in-law's rights. Daughter-in-law is worried I must fulfill the mother-in-law. Everybody is worried about fulfilling the next person's rights. So now you'll have Jannat on earth now. It'll be Jannat on earth now. One daughter-in-law, people see that she's got a lot of muhabbat for her mother-in-law. So they're concerned, not concerned, but curious that normally daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws, they always having it out. But this daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, they are so close. So somebody asked her, how come, how you hit it right with your mother-in-law? Like, you know, what happened? So she explained, she said, see, when I got married, I too was foolish, nadan, you know. So I also was very bad towards my mother-in-law. Yeah, but my mother-in-law, she had very good akhlaq. She never told me anything. So I shouldn't want to talk to her. I don't want to learn anything from her, you know, nothing. But she shouldn't say anything. And then time came when I got very sick. So she's saying, I shouldn't allow her to do anything. She mustn't touch my children. She's the mother-in-law. She must just stay in her place, you know. So she's saying, I got sick and I had to undergo an operation. And when I came from hospital, my mother-in-law, she just started taking care of me. Never talk anything. Looked after me, nursed me, cooked for me, whatever was needed, she did for me. So that day I realized how foolish I am. So this is just the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. There's no mother-in-laws and no daughter-in-laws here, but some of them may be listening, the receiver and the streaming and all that. But this is in every relationship. In every relationship, if each one is worried about the next one's rights, then there'll be Jannat on earth. With regards to the family of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we as mu'mineen, we have to have a lot of muhabbat for all the sahaba radiallahu anhum, and especially for the family of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one person, if anybody come to you, they say that they are Sayyid. Right? So, there's no need for us to do any investigations. The man is claiming to be a Sayyid. So, accept it on face value. You have to honor every human, right? Now, if this person is saying that he is a Sayyid, so now you must honor him even more. One time, about a year or something back, one brother, there were 2-3 of them, I think, came here. I think they were from UK or some, I think most hardly one from the UK. So they came and, so I asked him, you came on holiday or you came for some calm business, what it is, you know, why you came to South Africa. So he was a bit reluctant, but after that then he told me. He said that no, what we do is we visit different countries. And all we do is we go to find those who are the family of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the family of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cannot accept zakat. They can't take zakat. So if they are in difficulty, you want to assist them, you have to assist them not with zakat. So we go around looking for these family members of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have a fund where there's no zakat. We assist them through that, those who are. They said we go, so they've been to so many other countries, now they came to South Africa, and then they wing, whenever they get chance, and they'll go to a country and try to identify these people. They go and look for them. Now they must be having a way, which I don't know what system they use, but they go and look for them, and then if anybody is in need, so they will assist them and not with zakat. Now what a great thing. So one person, I can't remember exactly the incident properly, I can't remember it, but from what I can remember, one man came to him and said that he is a Sayyid. He needed some assistance or something. He said that he is a Sayyid. So this person told him to prove it. So must prove it, that you are the Sayyid. So that night he had a dream. So he's dreaming his Qiyamah day. And all the mu'mineen, they are going to the Hawza Kawthar to get water from Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he also is going there. So he was asked that, who are you? You're coming here, who are you? So he said, no, I'm also an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was told, well then prove it. In other words, a lesson was being given to him. You telling that Sayyid must prove it, so you too prove it now. So we mustn't ever doubt somebody. That person is saying that they are a Sayyid, we must acknowledge that they are Sayyid, we must respect them, love them, honor them. Their matter is, the inside is between them and Allah Ta'ala. But outwardly they are telling us they are Sayyid, then we must respect them, we must honor them, we must love them. So this muhabbat, this dosti, this is something, there was one buzurg, Khazaji Rahmatullah is mentioning this example. He said there was one buzurg, talking about dosti, you know, real friendship. So this buzurg, he went to visit another buzurg. So Khazaji Rahmatullah, he mentioned this kabutar, kabutar ba kabutar, baz ba baz. In other words, pigeons will fly with pigeons and hawks will fly with hawks. So the buzurgs, they want to go, pious people, they want to go by pious people, they want to meet with pious people. So he went to visit this buzurg, but they were friends, the two of them. So he went there and this buzurg now is asking him, by anything I can do for you, you know. Like you came, it's an odd hour, you came, is some calm you got? Okay. So he said, yes, I need 500 rupees. So this buzurg took out the money. Now 500 rupees was a lot of money that time. He took out the money and he gave it to him. So this buzurg thanked him, took the money and he went. So after he left, this buzurg who gave the money, he sat down there and he started crying. So wife is a wife. The wife, the right of the wife is she must be able to have an informal relationship with the husband. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions, it's sad today that there's no men left. There's no men. Because the man, he doesn't allow his wife to speak to him freely, to say certain things. He's getting so fed up. He's getting so angry. Who you to talk to me like that? But there's no men left. A man, a true man. So he understands his wife is his wife. She got an open relationship with him. She can talk to him with no formalities. There's no formalities between husband and wife. So she told, now he's a buzurg now, but see how the taluk now. So she told him, See, this is something now. You just gave 500 rupees, now you're sitting and crying, missing your 500 rupees now. If that was the case, then why you gave it? You're feeling so bad you gave it now, that you're sitting and crying. So why you gave it in the first place? You shouldn't have given it then. So he told her that, Begum Sahiba, I'm not crying because I gave it. See, I'm crying because on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Pak have to ask me that this friend of yours was in need, he was in need, why didn't you know about his need? Why did he have to come and ask you? If he was your friend, you should have known his need. You should have been concerned about him. You should have assisted him before he opened his mouth. So see how he was thinking. This is true muhabbat, true dosti. So Azizi Rahmatullah Ali, after that he says, don't think you're going to do like that now. He said, today's zamana, there's no dosti. Don't get into josh and say, no. Hey, now, I too must be like this now. I must go and give without asking. Today you must be very, very careful. Josh is something and hosh is something else. Right? So, these were true people. Both the one who asked and the one who gave, both of them were true people. They were both pious people. They knew what they were doing. Otherwise today, what is Josh? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he explains very beautifully. He says that when the food is cooking, there's a lot of noise. When the food is cooking, there's a lot of noise. But you can't take benefit from that food. That is Josh. That thing is boiling, and it's cooking, and everything, you know. You hear a lot of noise, but you can't take benefit from it. So he said the Sadiq also is like that. The Sadiq is only informing his sheikh about his kafiyat. I don't know what happened to me, I'm feeling like this. Yeah, now I'm feeling like that. Now I'm feeling, this is all Josh. There's no Hosh. He hasn't reached calmer waters. He hasn't settled now. Hosh hasn't come in. He's still in Josh. So the sheikh, he listens to all that correspondence, he reads it, you know, right, okay. Still kacha. Still green. He hasn't ripened as yet. I like to explain it like this, that when you're launching a boat, you know, you're launching a boat, so it's very exciting when you're going through the waves. But it's very dangerous there too. Very easily you can flip the boat. And you can't benefit much there. You can't fish there. But after you pass all those waves, now you go in the deep sea. Now there, if it's a calm day, so the waters are calm. There's no excitement of riding the waves and all that. Now the waters are calm. But there you can fish. The objective you went for, now you can get the fish. Now you can fish over there. So this Josh is like that. You climb, just jumping the waves, but you can't do anything. And if you're not controlled over there, you can fall down too. So Azizi Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful example of a pot of food cooking. I say, now once the food is cooked, now you don't hear no sound. When the food is cooked, then there's no sound. But if you just open the lid, now you get an aroma. Now you can benefit from that food. Now you can eat. Now hosh came. See? Hosh. When there's hosh, there's akal. You're not acting on emotions. You just went away. You know, I'm running away from you. You just go, no, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Now you read something in one kitab. No, I'm doing that now. That's all josh. You have to come into hosh. You have to settle. Come into hosh. Then there's akal. So don't get carried away with Josh. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions that I was speaking about this incident of the 500 rupees, but do not deduce from this kissa that you must act in a similar manner. You should now, don't think you must now start giving money freely. Anybody who declares his friendship, beware. Don't ever do a thing like that. To make nakal, there must also be akal. When you want to copy, you want to follow something, there must also be akal. You must use your intelligence also. Today, there isn't much sincerity left. There's no real loyalty, real friendships, no. Everything is just on the surface. So Azizi Rahmatullah Ali gives one beautiful example of one father and son, you know. So he says that this son, all of a sudden, he starts coming home late. So the father questions him, say, "Bhai, what's happening?" He said, "No, I've got one friend." He said, "So what do you do with your friend? Every day you're coming home so late." He said, "No, we sit, we talk, you know, spend some time together." So sometime he's coming home, 11 o'clock, half past 10, after Isha, they're sitting, they talk, you know. So the father said, "Oh, so who's this friend of yours, man?" So "No, he's a very good friend." So the father told him, "All right, see, tonight, you must take me to meet your friend. I too want to see who's this wonderful friend you got. Every day you're spending so much time with him." So the son, he said, "All right, no problem." So that night now, after Isha, this fellow is getting ready to go now by the friend. So the father tells him, "All right, wait, I'm coming with you." But now the father is delaying. Something to do. This fellow is getting impatient. Now he's gone almost midnight. So the father says, "All right, chalo, come, let's go see your friend." So as they're going, the father tells him that, "See, when we go to your friend, I want you to do something." So you knock the door. When your friend comes, he'll obviously ask you what was the delay, you know. Normally you come after Isha, not today, you came so late. What's the delay? So you might just tell him that, "No, we had some trouble at home, some problem at home." So they went there to the house, and everything is lights out there, late now. They knock the door, nobody is answering or anything. They knocked again a couple times. Eventually, that person, he answers, open the window or something, and says, "No, it's me, man, you know." He said, "Who's there?" He said, "No, it's me, your friend." So eventually he came down, opened the door, said, "What happened? You came so late. No, I was sleeping and all that, now you disturbed me." So he said, "No, we had some trouble at home." So as soon as that friend heard trouble, so he too became troubled. So he told him, he said, "You know what, man, I was sleeping, I'm very tired now. This trouble and all you got, tomorrow we'll talk about it. You know, you go away now, I was sleeping." So he, before this fellow can say anything, he closed the door, put a chain, and the father told the son, "Say, wonderful friend you got. It's alright. I want to show you my one friend. I haven't met him in good few years now, but anyway, I just want to introduce you to my friend." So they go now, it's even later now, after midnight. So they go here to this person's house, couple of streets away. So the father knocks and he makes salam. So he hears a awaz, he hears a sound. "Walaikum as-salam, I'm coming." That person didn't even ask who's there. So many years they didn't meet, but he heard his friend's voice, he knows who that is. He didn't have to ask who's there. So he said, "I'm coming." But now there was a bit of a delay. So after a short while, after some delay, he opened the door. But when he opened the door, there was an ajeeb manzar. He opened the door, he's an elderly man, like around his father's age. He got a pot on his head. And in his one hand, he got a danda, you know, one stick. And the other hand, he got one bag of money. So the father is asking him, what's all this now? So he says, boy, I haven't seen you a couple of years. And for you to come at this hour, so I thought to myself that there has to be some issue. Can be only one of three things. It's either you got no food at home. So I brought this pot. There is some food here, whatever we had. I went to put it together. That's why I got a bit late to open the door. So you can take this pot, go home, feed your family. Alternatively, you're owing somebody money. And they are now pestering you for the money. So whatever money I got is here in this bag. You can have it, go and pay whoever you need to pay. Right? Or there is somebody that's physically trying to harm you. So I'm gone old now, but I can still do a thing or two with this stick of mine. Right? So I'm tayyar. If anybody is serving you, we'll sort them out. So the father told him, he said, no, nothing like that. Alhamdulillah, there is food at home. I'm not in any qaraz. Nobody is after me too. I just wanted to show my son what's a friend. Who is a friend? I just wanted to show him who is a friend. So they thanked one another, met one another, make salam, and went to me. So the father told the friend, see, you call your friend a friend. Every day you're spending time with him, right? But look at what kind of friendship. And this person, I haven't seen him so many years. And look at him. So dosti is something different. Friendship is something different. When you have a friend, there must be truthfulness, there must be loyalty. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions, he said, today's zamana, there are no friends. Friends today have earned some fancy titles. He said, number one, you get a chamchi yaar. The one type of friend is a chamchi yaar. What he is, a friend of the tablespoon. Only when you're giving a dawat, he knows you. You know, you're having a braai, you're having something, then he knows you. Other than that, he don't know you. So he's chamchi yaar. The second one is dastar khan ke yaar. Same kind of friend. Only having wadima, having something, he's ready. Other than that, he doesn't know who you are. And the third one is a worst kind one. Who's the third one? Muhazzab daku. He's a cultured, sophisticated thief. And today, majority are like this. Cultured, sophisticated thief. They befriend you because they want to steal from you. Or they befriend you because they want to use your name to get something from somebody else. Muhazzab daku. He's a cultured, sophisticated thief. Most are gone like this today. So you have to be very, very careful. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله